Allison Downey, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you are a Techstars entrepreneur and mentor, CEO and founder of WeSpring, as well as Stellar Reviews, co-founder of Meta Angels as well, and handling, I believe, a lot of the marketing and community for that. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and also Angel Labs, which we just added into the mix. So up to 4 companies. So really getting into that and leaning into that serial entrepreneur title.
Hey, are you interested in marketing, community building, NFTs and crypto, social media, and the metaverse? It's all moving fast and it's easy to be overwhelmed. No one knows the future and no one knows exactly what the intersection of these things will look like. My name is Mark Robinson and I do my best to break it down as we connect with leaders in the space and figure it out together. Thanks for listening as we laugh, learn, and lean into the future of digital marketing. How did you initially get interested in blockchain technology or NFTs? What made you decide, with all these other ventures going on, to dive into that world and start your own NFT project?
Yeah, I bought my first crypto in 2014. So I bought some Bitcoin back then on a lark because someone said this is something that is going to be something in the future. And I made a small enough bet that it would be fine if I lost all the money and it went to zero. And as we know, between 2014 and now, it has not gone to zero, even though it was rocky along the way a little bit. And, you know, over the past year, looking at the NFT space, honestly, initially, it did not make much sense to me. And then as I started to see more of a groundswell behind it, I started to wonder, you know, is this Bitcoin in 2014? And should I be paying more attention to this? And started reading and going deep. I read Ben Yu's 30,000 word article about how NFTs are a generational innovation. And by the end of that, I had drank all the Kool-Aid and really come to see NFTs as where we are now, at least, as a hybrid of a brand and a membership. And those are both things that I had built and built successfully. And the wheels started turning for me about ways that I could take my 10 years of Web2 experience and carry them into the NFT space. And also looking at the landscape right now, when I think about NFTs today, branded membership, but I feel like we're looking at the invention of the wheel right now, and the technology that is underpinning PFPs is going to be leveraged in infinitely more sophisticated ways that I can't even imagine yet right now. So if you think about the actual invention of the wheel, it was a pottery wheel before it was used to move anything around. The wheel that we're looking at right now doesn't even have spokes. It hasn't been turned on its side yet. I can envision how it could move things around. Like, I can see the spokes in the wagon. I can't see the higher order uses, like turning it into a gear to pull down energy from a wind turbine, but I've got conviction that they're there.
Did your 10 years of experience building brand, building community, those things, did that translate really well into building an NFT project? Did you have to unlearn a lot of stuff, or was it really helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. It segued like smoothly and beautifully. You know, ultimately the Web3 side of it, you know, the blockchain piece, the technology underpinning it, it's not rocket science right now. You know, bringing in a smart, thoughtful developer in the way that I brought in smart, thoughtful developers for my Web2 company, you can get the tech side covered. The piece of the puzzle that I see a lot of projects really struggling with is how they position themselves, how they build a sense of community, and how they build trust overall. And, you know, those have really been the 3 pinnacles of what I have done in the past 10 years. And even before that, I worked in politics in my 20s. And there's so much brand building and community building there. And that was what I built upon when I first started WeSpring and then Stellar. And it really has been a great foundation for Meta Angels.
And what did you do differently? I totally agree with you that that's lacking in a lot of communities and projects. What did you do differently to build that sense of pride in the community and that sense of trust?
Well, I mean, really, first, it's about starting with why, like why people are participating in these communities and anchoring around that. And, you know, when I was thinking about Meta Angels initially and thinking about that intersection of brand and membership, you know, I thought, what is the brand that I want to represent myself? And what is the club that I really want to be part of that other people might not have access to otherwise? And where the wheels started turning for me was around these gated membership communities that are real world gated membership communities. So, you know, my Techstars Alumni Network, my Columbia Business School Network, Alex and I met through a group of women called The List, which is, you know, about 500 women with a lot of power in media and technology. And anytime I need to turn somewhere for support, whether it is, you know, a referral to a corporate lawyer or, you know, advice on how to handle a sticky situation with a board member or, you know, anything else imaginable, even something personal, like how to handle this complicated issue with my kid and teacher at the school, I've got a network of support that I can turn to and ping, you know, hundreds of people instantly and get a response or turn to the person specifically from that network who could help me. And that's not something most people have. So what we really set out to build was a token gated community that had much higher levels of accessibility that would enable people to tap into that kind of support from people who just feel an intrinsic desire to be helpful. Like, that's the brand. The brand is about generosity and helping other people out and opening doors and giving them a leg up. We have this central construct within Meta Angels called the Wishing Well. It's been there since day one. The concept is you post something you need and then people in the community can browse through and see what they can help with. We also have a make an offers channel where people who are experts are able to jump in and offer something that they have. And it's not necessarily something that they're experts in the business world. Someone posted an offer to fix someone's car in London. If they had a car that needed, like, that's their expertise. And that's the offer they had to make. We get a lot of executive coaches offering support. We've had therapists in there who've offered support and actually matched with people who made wishes. There was one woman in particular who works in a really emotionally draining job and like heart-wrenching situations and posted that she was just feeling a lot of burnout and wanted to talk to someone. And within a couple of days, she had connected with some of these therapists within our community.
Beautiful. That's really cool. And I think that's a very different picture than what you see in a lot of these communities where you're grinding, there's stress, there's FOMO, and it's not always
grind culture. Like, one good quality engagement, you know, like one fulfilled wish in the wishing well, one offer, like that was automatic gold list. And then we had, you know, a team of people that had been in the community since the early days who we trusted. And we gave them what we called the magic wand role. And they could gold list people. And we called it the gold list because we, you know, fundamentally disagree with the use of the term whitelist. There are all of these heavy connotations. I'm seeing many, many more projects shift to allow list, which has been really encouraging. But we had a bit of a campaign back in December to retire that term.
Yeah. I think a lot of people say zig when others are zagging or do things differently, but you guys have actually done it. And something that I've seen just from reading, I think it all started actually when I read the thread that Alex had posted on just, hey, a week after Mint, here's what happened. And I read that and was immediately impressed. I jumped into your Discord. I actually minted one last night, so I'm officially a Meta Angel now.
Yeah.
So excited to be a part of it. But I love that you guys have lived out your values, and that's been a core principle and tenet of what you guys have done. And it's obvious through how you approach community building and marketing and the communication and the whole energy that you guys bring to the space.
Yeah. So the three pillars and values that we're centered on are generosity, transparency, and accessibility. So we talked about the generosity with the wishing well. The transparency piece is really just kind of opening the doors to show how we did this and like being really clear about who we are and being fully doxed and encouraging people in the community, if they're comfortable sharing their real identities and what they do. And, you know, threads like that are a big part of the transparency piece. It's the spirit of Web3 that you share with others what you've learned so they can continue to iterate on it. Because again, we're still on the pottery wheel phase. Also, we also generated 10,000 unique descriptions of angels. Check your description in OpenSea to look what you're an angel of. So we use GPT-3, which is part of OpenAI. I led the charge on this. And we have, there are 500 different types of angels. We have angels of blossoming. We have angels of opulence. We have angels of solidarity. We have angels of trust. And each of them has a custom description. subscription that ties in, and no two are the same. So posted a long thread about how we did that as well, all of the mechanics of it, so others can take it, iterate on it, and improve upon it. And then the final piece, the final value, is accessibility. And the earliest idea I had when I was thinking about this concept of a membership community, you know, was concern about building a community that was so valuable that it would price out the people who could benefit most from it. So started mulling the idea of a lending mechanism that would allow a holder to loan their token to someone else to give them access to the community for however long as they want. So we built that into the smart contract. To our knowledge, we're the first to ever do anything like that. And it's a safe and secure loan. It's all on chain, and it can be called back at any time. And what's remarkable too is that once it goes into the borrower's wallet, it's locked. It can't be transferred. It can't be sold. And we saw an instance a week or two ago where the borrower's wallet was compromised. And it was really clear that the person who had broken into that wallet and hacked that wallet was trying to sell it because they were listing it so far below floor. Discord was going wild trying to figure out what was going on. And it was just stuck. They couldn't do anything with it. So we finally reached the holder of that token. They called it back and it stayed safe in their wallet. So thinking about that lending mechanism is having great value in terms of ensuring that the community remains accessible no matter how big we grow and how much value we bring to the community, while also having a security mechanism that is a bit of a bonus on there.
So someone can benefit from all the perks of and utilities of having a Meta Angel without actually owning that token.
Yep. Yeah. Really cool. And not all of the perks, but all of the community membership uplifting each other perks. We have some member benefits, holder benefits rolling out that are going to be holder exclusive.
Yeah. And then you alluded to this earlier, but there's another utility that you guys have recently announced. Can you talk a little bit more about what that is and the vision there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we launched Angel Apps, going through the mint process, seeing how many people are reinventing the wheel, and we were among them. You know, you get so many Solidity developers writing the same smart contract. There are business fundamentals that most projects are learning on the fly, you know, things like knowing to start your institutional Coinbase account well before you mint, because otherwise you are not going to have a way to get fiat. So like small things like that, thinking about corporate structure, planning for taxes, a combination of the Web3 building blocks, and also in the Web2 and you know, business building blocks in general. Alex went through Y Combinator, Gabe went through Y Combinator, I went through Techstars, the managing director for Angel Apps also went through Techstars. So we're coming at it from Web2 accelerator, best in class programs and experiences, and taking elements of those that you know, are relevant to Web3 while also building out a world-class curriculum that is going to give founders and teams the tools that they need to really succeed. You know, when I think about Techstars and NYC, you know, 90%+ of startups fail. They're trying to increase that number and increase the number that succeed, and help the companies that have a great vision execute and get off the ground and soar. We're taking the same approach with Angel Labs, that we are looking at really smart teams who have an interesting and innovative concept and idea, and helping them go from that concept all the way through to mint successfully. Another piece of the Angel Lab side is that we've got a deep mentorship pool in place. So it's people like Keith Grossman and Randy Zuckerberg and Ben and Mai from Curious Addies and Malia, and just a really broad list of mentors who will be doing, you know, some hands-on mentoring. Some will come in and teach a masterclass. Some will do workshops, but really getting all of those companies access to people who are going to help answer pretty much any question that they have.
And is that good for somebody that is an artist who wants to start a project, or would it be more a company that's looking to implement an NFT strategy into their business? Who's a good fit for that program?
I would say it's a combination, and we're thinking it may wind up being 50-50, where it is people who have a foothold in Web3, who have a concept for a company that they want to enable with NFTs, or it is, you know, business builders from Web 2 who want to expand into Web 3. So it's companies with an NFT enabled strategy. We're looking for companies that have bigger visions, and see is one of the opportunities in this, the ability to spot innovation and see what direction the market is going in.
What are some of the cool innovations and use cases of NFTs, the unique innovative utilities that you've seen people, either ideas that have come across your plate or things that you see people already putting in place?
Yeah. So some of them are things like subscription services for physical products and goods, timeshare. So, you know, you've got a piece of property and, you know, there are 52 NFTs that are minted and you have an NFT that corresponds to your week. You can trade it on the secondary market. You could trade it for another week. We have seen ones that are grounded in education. So helping people learn how to invest in multifamily real estate and giving them the tools to do so, and then leveraging the NFT for some of that funding structure. We have an applicant that has a community of 15,000 highly engaged people in the Web 2 and offline world that wants to educate them on NFTs and bring them into Web 3. There are so many different applications. I think we're at 125 right now. I could be wrong about that. And we're looking to cull to a class of 10.
So cool. I love that idea. I'm super excited about it.
And holders of Meta Angels will be able to get in line ahead for presale access when those projects mint. It's not going to be all 10K projects. So it's not going to be all, you know, like unlimited slots. There might be some that are minting 500 or 1,000, depending on the business model that they're going into. But again, Meta Angels holders have priority access there.
So having built an NFT project and now setting in place this framework to help others successfully launch an NFT project, what does it take to build a successful NFT project? Because I think you started in December, maybe. And so
the idea came in November, and then Alex came on board in December. We found Sarana and connected with her on, I think, December 5th or 6th. And then we minted on February 8th and sold out in presale 52 hours. And it was the dream as well. Like we wanted to ensure that the community that we're building was aligned with our values, that we didn't want a community of flippers. We wanted people who were there for the right reasons, because they wanted to contribute and they wanted to be part of a pool of people who were like this. And presale access and granting people a allow list or gold list, as we called it, was the way to do that, where we were finding the people and handpicking the people who were within the community who shared those values. So in terms of recipe for success, I mean, team is the foundation for everything. We had an outstandingly talented team. Alex Cavalakis, who is the CEO of Meta Angels now, was one of the founders of The Muse, which went through Series C in funding. They had 70 million people, or have 70 million people on their platform each year. She left after 10 years to take a step back and look and do something new. So she was coming in with that 10 years of business building experience. I also came in with a decade of business building experience. Gabe, who is our CTO and co-founder as well, he had brought a company through YC. Sold it. He now, you know, runs a very large team of engineers for RBI, which is the parent company of Burger King and Popeyes. I mean, I'm amongst the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And that also is something I would really want to convey to someone who's going in. Like, this is not something you can run as a part-time gig side hustle. This is a space that is all consuming, and it's a culture right now. And I would love to see this culture change, but it's a culture right now where, you know, it's when announcement and when moon and, you know, like constantly feeding the beast of hunger for new news and the pace at which the space is going. You know, it's not sustainable. It is going to burn out founders. It is going to burn out community members because of this expectation. You need to be in Discord all the time. So really would love to see some cultural shifts there. And we are doing what we can to help drive those cultural shifts while also accomplishing really big things for Meta Angels.
And having your cohort as a resource to people will hopefully help alleviate some of that stress and overwhelm that comes with launching a project too.
Absolutely. It's a lonely space. Like, you are insular within your own space with this community of support, but also you know, there are plenty of FUDders in that community, and the FUDders tend to be loudest. So, you know, equipping yourself with the tools and having that network of support to help you not get dragged down by that, I think is so important.
So selling out the entire project in 52 hours in pre-sale, that's amazing. Do you think today that projects still have the same opportunity to do that? Was there less competition then? Is it still, we're still super early. If you have a good project and the right team, that still is totally possible. What are your views on how things are changing or where the space is at now?
I mean, that wasn't what we expected, that fit sellout in 52 hours. You know, we were at, I don't know, like maybe 5,000 people in our Discord when we were gearing up for Mint. We also had been told by pretty much everyone in the space to expect 30% of people on our allow list, maybe 60% of the people on our allow list to Mint. We kept the numbers to 10,000. So there were 10,000 allow list spots. People who were on our gold list could Mint 3. We had a platinum list that could Mint 5, and then a diamond list for the people who like really went above and beyond who could Mint 10. So we ran the numbers. So, you know, all of those together would be still a little bit below 10,000. And then we had a silver list going once we closed that for people who were essentially on the waiting list. We thought it was going to be a slow mint. We thought that we would, you know, release a tranche for the gold list. We'd close it after 48 hours. We'd give it another week of building up the community. We'd open a tranche and we would do that as long as it took. You know, we were expecting a mint like Crypto Coven or Women Rise because we were so focused on the quality of the community. And we ultimately found that 93% of people who were on our allow list minted. It blew our minds. And we were watching the numbers early on and thinking like, this can't be right. And then honestly, like some of the stress was, if this is so oversubscribed, did we make a mistake somewhere? Did we let more addresses in than we expected? But we managed it really closely. And I think for the last, you know, maybe 500 spots, and Alex knows these numbers, they roll off her tongue. For the last 500 spots, we were able to let people in from our silver list.
That's amazing. And also, no part of my question about has things changed because you were early is that, like, I know you didn't sell out because there was less competition or it was earlier timing. Like, you guys
No. This is a crazy market environment. It's totally unpredictable. It like swings high and low and high again with nothing rational driving it. And, you know, there are times when the market is more crowded. There's times when it's more frothy. You know, the price of ETH has an impact on that as well. Looking at the other projects that are coming in. I mean, you look at this week and there's no liquidity for anything. But so like, it's a bit of like taking all the air in the room. So we were lucky in our timing and that the market was on an upswing when we did mint, but we were going to mint then regardless of whether we were in an upswing.
And how did you get to, you said you had about 5,000 in your community and obviously a very loyal bought in community. And I think some of that comes from, like you said before, leading with your why and having it be cause driven. But I guess, how did you build your community tactically? What did that look like? And why was the community so bought into the vision of Meta Angels, do you think?
Yeah. So we talked from the beginning about building with intention and not hype. So we were at maybe 1,000 members in our Discord around January 1. And then we announced Serana as our artist, I think it was around January 5, and started releasing previews. And that was a major driver. People just, they loved it. They responded to it. It was a PFP like nothing else that was out there. It was capital A art. You know, I had seen Flower Girls in, I think, early November, you know, weeks before they minted, and felt like I had been struck by lightning when I saw Vivara's art. It was just so different and spectacular and like capital A art. And when we were looking for an artist to work with on this, that's what we were looking for. And I kind of stumbled upon one of Serana's one-of-ones in Twitter, messaged it over to Alex and said, like, this is the one. This is the one. We have to get on the phone with her. We have to figure out what she's doing. And, you know, our ask of her was to create a PFP that had no traits that were binary, that we didn't have female or male as a trait, that we were using the same body shape and chin shading and nose shading and eyes and hair and clothing. Those were the things that signaled maybe it was mask or maybe it was femme. But there's so many within the collection that are intentionally left to the eye of the beholder. So I think that resonated with people quite a bit as well. And so the art was a big part of it. And then, you know, without us making pushes for this, there were outside communities that were excited and lending support and tweeting about us. So CPG Club was the earliest endorser of Meta Angels and came flooding in. JP Morgan came flooding in. Zeneca, you know, very generously shared about us in his Discord. And that always drives a lot of engagement. We had built relationships and partnerships early on with other projects that were mission aligned with us. So Curious Addies, you know, Women in Weapons, Boss Beauties, others that had the types of communities that we wanted to have ourselves. And that was also really powerful. But, you know, there's kind of an order of operations that you need to get to a certain point of legitimacy before you can make those asks. So you've got to get there on your own through just hard work and engagement and talking to people on Twitter and saying things that are valuable. I'd say our tweet threads were actually really, really helpful too in driving followers of Meta Angels and driving followers of us personally. And then of course, once someone was following one of us personally, that would lead them to Meta Angels as well. So creating good content that we were circulating out there was helpful and valuable. So that way, when we went to Boss Beauties with the, you know, we had a robust community and we could show that our community would actually bring value to them. We get asks all the time from projects who just want something from us. And, you know, in every part of my life, I position requests in terms of what's in it for them. And that's advice that I would give to founders as much as possible.
And I'll ask one more question. I know we're coming short on time here. Just to double tap on what you just said about positioning an ask so that it's in, you know, there's benefit for them. What's in it for this other community or founder? How do you do that when you're looking to establish some of those partnerships? What does it look like to create an ask that gives them value, not just for you?
I mean, I would start with an offer. Like anytime you can, before you even make an ask, just plant the seed with an offer, put that chit out there into the world. You know, Techstars motto is give first. And that's the mentality that we have internalized with Meta Angels as well and Angel Labs. So this idea that like, you go in with a spirit of generosity. You look around at the world and look at the people that you can help and support, and you establish a foundation for that relationship before asking for anything. And then in terms of bringing something that's of value, you know, coming right out of the gate and asking, like, can you please promote us to your Discord? Like, it's not going to get very far with us, at least. And it wouldn't have gotten us far either. But, you know, building a community that was engaged, that was, you know, getting to a point where it was really in demand. So pre-sale slots were something that had value rather than something that was kind of burdensome on the community that may or may not want to take them.
Right.
So that was one of the last phases where we were doing the pre-sale offers. I think we did that really only 1 to 2 weeks before Mint. Everything up until that was really about offers and engaging and spending some time in their Discords myself. I held most of the projects that we were talking to. So that changed the landscape a little bit as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for all the stuff you're sharing today. If somebody wants to follow along with you or Meta Angels, where's the best place to follow along and get in touch?
Yeah, so Meta Angels is at @Meta_Angels, and I am at Allison Downey, and it's AllysonDowney.
And that's on Twitter, correct?
And that is on Twitter, yes.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to talk.